Chapter 5. The Governess and the Valet. I spoke to Mrs. Gross as soon as I could after this event. I don't even remember what I did before I spoke to her. What I do remember is that I almost threw myself into her arms, crying, "They know! It's terrifying! They know! They know!" "What do you mean?" she cried as she held me. Then she let me go, and I said, "2 hours ago, in the garden, Flora saw..." Mrs. Gross gasped, "She told you?" "No, that's the terrifying thing. She didn't say anything. That child of 8 years old! I cannot believe it!" I cried. Mrs. Gross's mouth fell open.
"Then how do you know?"
"I was there," I answered. "I saw with my eyes that she was aware of that horror."
"Do you mean that she was aware of him?"
"No, of her," I said, seeing a look of fear come over Mrs. Gross's face. "It was another person this time, a woman in black, pale and dreadful, on the other side of the lake. I was there with the child, and the woman came."
"Came? From where?" Mrs. Gross asked.
"I don't know where they come from," I replied. "She just appeared and stood there, but not as near as he did."
"Was she someone you've never seen?"
"Never. But it was someone the child had seen, and I think it was someone you have seen. I think it was the previous governess, the one who died."
"Miss Jessel?"
"Yes," I replied. "Miss Jessel. Don't you believe me?" Mrs. Gross looked terribly upset.
"How can you be sure?"
Because I was feeling so awful, I answered impatiently, "If you don't believe me, then ask Flora. She knows." But the moment I spoke, I stopped myself. "No, don't ask Flora. She'll say there was no one there. She'll lie." Mrs. Gross protected Flora as she always protected the children.
"How can you say that? Why would Flora tell a lie?"
"Because," I said firmly, "Flora doesn't want me to know."
"Maybe the child wants to protect you," she replied. "No, no," I cried. "I've thought about it. Flora doesn't want me to know that she meets Miss Jessel when I'm not there."
Mrs. Gross looked very troubled, but then she said more cheerfully, making a grim joke,
"Well, let's not get too upset. Perhaps the child likes seeing her."
"Likes seeing her?" I shrieked. "That little child?"
"Yes," said Mrs. Gross. "Wouldn't that prove how innocent the child is?"
I almost believed her for a moment. I almost believed in the child's innocence.
"Oh, we must believe that," I said,
"because if we don't, it proves that..."
"Oh, but it can't! The woman is a horror!"
Mrs. Gross, hearing this, looked at the ground for a minute. Then she looked up and said,
"Tell me how you know."
"So, you admit that she was a horror?" I cried.
"Tell me how you know," my friend repeated.
"I knew by the way she looked," I said. "She didn't look at me. She only looked at the child. She looked as if she wanted to possess her."
"To possess her?"
Mrs. Gross repeated, shivering. Then she walked to the window, and as she stood there looking out, I finished what I wanted to say.
"That's what Flora knows, I said.
After a little while, Mrs. Gross turned round. The person was in black, you said?
Yes. She was wearing faded black clothes, I replied.
Then, as I thought about her, I said more.
But she was beautiful too. Beautiful, but wicked.
Mrs. Gross slowly came back to me.
Miss Jessel was wicked,
she said, taking my hand in both of her own and holding it tightly. She paused before she spoke again, and then, finally, she said,
They were both corrupt and wicked.
You must tell me, I said. Was there something between Miss Jessel and Quint?
There was everything between them, miss, she said.
But he wasn't a gentleman. He was only a valet, I said.
And she was a lady, Mrs. Gross went on. He was a long way below her.
I did not want to say much more about people being above and below each other, because, of course, Mrs. Gross and I were aware of how much I, a governess, was above her, a housekeeper.
Quint was a dreadful man, I said.
I've never seen anyone like him, she replied. He did what he wished to do.
With her?
With them all.
I thought of the pale, beautiful figure in black by the lake and said firmly,
It was also what she wished to do.
Mrs. Gross's face showed that she agreed, but she said,
Poor woman, she suffered for it.
Then you do know what she died of? I asked.
No, I know nothing. I did not want to know, she replied.
But you guessed her reason for leaving, I said.
Oh, yes, she said. She couldn't stay here. It was wicked for a governess to behave like that. But after I heard that she had died, I imagined her terrible death. How tragic it was!
But not as terrible a death as I imagine, I replied.
That good woman realized how awful I felt. She took me in her arms, and I burst into tears.
It's all my fault. I thought I could protect the children, I cried, as if I were in pain. But I'm not doing that. It's far worse than I dreamed. They are possessed by those horrifying ghosts.
After talking to Mrs. Gross, I returned to my pupils and was once again aware of their innocence and charm. I was sorry that I had to remind myself of the drama by the lake. I remembered how Flora had played so seriously with her piece of wood and turned away from the lake. How clever she was to pretend she did not know Miss Jessel was there. Late that night, the housekeeper and I talked again. She did not doubt that I had seen the ghost of Miss Jessel. To make her believe this, all I had to do was to remind her of something. I had been able to describe Quint and Miss Jessel so clearly that she had immediately recognised them. Of course, she still wished that our problem would go away. In fact, she thought that the problem would go away if we pretended that it was not there. But she soon agreed with me that the ghosts were likely to come back. I said I was sure that I could face the danger.
I must know everything now, I said to her firmly. Miles has been good all the time I have been here, so I could believe that he is never bad. But I don't believe it because of what you said after we received that letter from his headmaster. What were you thinking about when you said that Miles wasn't always good?
So at last, I learned what Mrs. Gross had kept from me.
She told me that for several months, Quint and the boy had always been together. She had been troubled about this and had complained to Miss Jessel about it. But Miss Jessel had been quite rude to her. In fact, she had said that it was nothing to do with someone who was just a housekeeper. Mrs. Gross had even spoken to Miles himself, reminding him that it was beneath him, a little gentleman, to spend time with a valet. She did not want to go on, but I encouraged her. Pausing for a while before speaking, she told me about Miles's reply. He had told her rudely that she was beneath him too.
"And you forgave him for saying that?" I said.
"Wouldn't you forgive him?" she replied.
"Oh, yes," I said, and we smiled at each other.
She went on to tell me that Miles had lied to her. He had said he did not often spend time with Quint. He had disagreed with her that Quint was behaving as if he were Miles's tutor, being his teacher while Miss Jessel was teaching Flora. He had told her that he was not with Quint when Flora was with Miss Jessel.
"He lied," I said.
Mrs. Gross would not believe anything bad about Miles.
"Well," she said, defending him, "Miss Jessel didn't mind. She didn't refuse to let him spend time with Quint."
"So Miles knew what was between those two dreadful people, didn't he?"
I made her answer me.
"Didn't he?"
I repeated.
"I don't know. I don't know," the poor woman cried. "You do know, my dear friend," I replied. "But I am braver than you are, and I know now, more than ever, that I must watch him."